All right, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I mentioned last week that I was contemplating, and maybe I'll take this down so you can see what I have here.
Yes, you did.
Turn on, right? All right. There you go. I notice that Marshall and Bonnie are front and center this week. Just saying. I mentioned last week that I may park on verse 33 this week, and I've decided to do so. Now, what I'm going to preach this morning, it's a different kind of message. It is a Bible truth, but the application of this truth is actually loosely based on a book that makes a wonderful application to this topic here. And I say loosely based on a book because I'm not going to preach you the whole book, but there's a truth that was in it that I really, really liked, and I wanted to give it to you today. You may have read this book, Love and Respect. I don't know if you have or not. How many have read the book? I hope not, just a few. All right. Well, you're going to hear a few things today that are from that book, but it's a Bible truth with a wonderful application, and so I hope it'll help us. We need help in our homes. We need help in our marriages, at least to some degree, all of us do. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. So let's stand together. You found Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. This message is for everyone, by the way. You can apply it many ways, but it's primarily, again, for the husband-wife relationship. Ephesians chapter 5, and notice verse 33. We read, "Nevertheless, let every one of you..." Now, he's speaking to the husbands. Remember, since verse 25, he's talking to the husband. He said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church," in verse 25, "and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." And on he goes, and he makes a comparison between Christ and the church, talking about the love of the husband. And so he sums the whole thing up here in one verse. He says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." What I'd like to do is I'd like for the men in this room to read with me the first half of that verse up to the word himself, and then the ladies in the room read the second half of that verse. All right? Men, we got that not too hard today, right? All right, little Thanksgiving leftover tiredness there, maybe. We'll get this right. So, men, now, don't, ladies. Okay, right, here we go. Ready, men, begin. "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself." Ladies, say it.
"And the wife see that she reverence her husband."
One more time. Men. "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself." Ladies?
"And the wife see that she reverence her husband."
We're going to narrow it down a little bit now. We're going to do it again. Be all right. It's not that long of a message. We'll get through it. Husbands only. Ready? Begin. "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself." Wives? Can we get that? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. And Lord, as I preach the message, I trust you've led me to preach. Lord, I know there's a lot to say here, but I need your help. Please fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. Lord, we need thee. Our homes need thee. And I believe we need to get an understanding of what this verse means to both the husband and the wife. So please remove any distractions from our minds today and from this room. May your word have free course, and may this message be life-changing for all of us. Help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I mentioned a moment ago, this sermon is loosely based on this book entitled Love and Respect, by a man by the name of Dr. Emerson Eggerichs. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. I'm sure somebody will help me at the end of the service. He writes about his early years growing up, and here's what he writes. I want you to listen. "I had been a child in an unhappy home. My parents divorced when I was one. Later, they remarried each other, but when I was five, they separated again. They came back together when I was in third grade, and my childhood years were filled with memories of yelling and unsettled tension. I saw and heard things that are permanently etched in my soul, and I would cry myself to sleep at times. I remember feeling deep sadness. I wet the bed until age 11 and was sent off to military school at age 13. As I look back on how my parents lived a life of almost constant conflict, I can see the root issue of their unhappiness. It wasn't hard to see that my mom was crying out for love, and my dad desperately wanted respect. Mom taught acrobatics, tap dance, and swimming, which gave her a good income and enabled her to live independently of dad's resources. Dad was left feeling that mom could get along fine without him, and she would often send him that message. She made financial decisions without consulting him, which made him feel insignificant, as if he didn't matter. Because he was offended, he would react to her in unloving ways. He was sure mom did not respect him. Dad would get angry over certain things, none of which I am able to recall. Mom's spirit would be crushed, and she would just exit the room. This dynamic between the two of them was my way of life in childhood and into my teenage years. Can I ask you something, husband and wife? Does that resemble your home? Are your kids going to grow up and say the same type of thing? Here in Ephesians chapter 5, for the past 13 verses, the Apostle Paul has been writing to these church members about one particular subject, their homes, and specifically about the husband and wife relationship. You know, what we often forget is that the husband and wife relationship is the foundation of the home. It is the foundation of the family. For example, if you go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him." Goes on to say in verse 21, "The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.'" That's what the Bible says. So again, that's the foundation of the family, is the marriage. Now understand, there are three institutions that the Lord God has ordained. God created. He created the home, he created the church, and he created human government. The very first of these institutions was the home. And it is my contention that the home, in a sense, is the most important of the three. I really believe that. Because the health of the other two are reliant upon the health of the home. That's so very important. By that I mean you cannot have a strong church or strong nation without a strong home. You see, your marriage is important to God. It's important to the church. And it's important to our nation. No matter what the world may say, "Oh, what's the big deal?" You know, it's a big deal. Our very nation depends upon it. Our churches depend upon your marriage. The home is very important. We've heard said repeatedly, as goes the home, so goes the church. As goes the church, so goes the nation. And understand, the foundation of a strong home or family is a strong marriage. That husband and wife relationship. You see, a strong marriage is that which follows God's design, both in makeup. Man and woman, amen right there, is a good time to say that. It would be weird we have to say that today. A man and a woman, and in mannerism as well. In other words, it consists of a man and a woman joined in marriage, committed to one another for life, each of them understanding their roles and their responsibilities, and living in a way that is in harmony with the Word of God. That's a strong marriage. And if each spouse would do this, then they would, could have, and would have a Christ-honoring, healthy, happy marriage. I think that's what all of us want, isn't it? You can have it. Now here in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning back in verse 21, Paul has been instructing, think about it here, both the wife and the husband on their roles and their responsibilities to one another. Now notice in verse 21, I dealt with this before, he deals with both the husband and wife together. He says to them, look, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In other words, when we come up with issues in the home, I'm talking about non-doctrinal issues, there must be in the home a mutual submission that goes on, not demanding your way all the time. That's to the husband and then and to the wife. And then he kind of branches off in verse 22 to 24, and he deals with the wife. And he says, notice, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. That's what you're to do. In other words, when it comes to making a final decision in the home, somebody has to be the leader. Someone has to have the responsibility of that. And God has made the man the head of the home to make that final say. Now, he's also accountable to God for those decisions as well. And then he shifts back over, so he deals with both of them in verse 21, verses 22 to 24, the wife. Now he shifts over to the husband in verse 25, and he tells the husband to love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So husbands, you're to love your wife, more about that today, as Christ loved, loved the church. In other words, sacrificial, unconditional, and a never-ending love. And he likens that again throughout these verses to Christ and the church. And he tells you why, so that she would grow in the Lord and be what Christ wants her to be. But then in verse 33, we often breeze over this verse and jump right into chapter 6. But I think we need to park here for a moment, because in verse 33, he goes back to both of you now. And he deals with both of you together. It's an interesting verse. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I truly believe that if when this verse is understood and lived out, it is a key verse to a healthy, happy, Christ-like marriage. Here it is right here, if we're willing to understand it and live it out. The command of the husband is to love your wife as yourself. So, men, husband, your word is love. Then he says to the wife to reverence her husband. A good definition of that word, I'll get into that in a little more detail in a moment, is the word respect. So men, whether married or not, would you say this word with me? Love.
Love.
Wives, would you say this word? Respect. Men?
Love.
Wives?
Respect.
That's your word. This morning I want to preach on this subject. The two key elements in a successful marriage. How many want your marriage to be successful in the eyes of God? Would you raise your hand? Men, you better be raising your hand, especially if your wife's sitting next to you. Better to it right now. All right. All of us do, right? All of us do. These are the two key elements, and I'm going to try to explain them to you here this morning. You know, so many spouses today will say the most hurtful things and do the most hurtful things to the one person on this earth that they say they love the most, their spouse. Why is that? Why is that? How is it that so many couples who begin their marriage with starry eyes, high hopes, if you will, lofty expectations, Visions of riding off into the sunset, if you will, hand in hand, arm in arm, till death do us part. How can two people that begin like that get to the point where they look upon their spouse with such animosity, disdain, and dislike? How does that happen? You say, preacher, that happens. It does. It absolutely does. I've seen people, I've counseled, that were had those bright eyes in the office, just couldn't wait till that day that they joined hands in holy matrimony. And then years later, it's as if they don't even like one another. What happened? What happened? I'll tell you how it happened, most likely. One or both of you have forsaken these elements. You set them aside. For the man, you've forsaken love. For the wife, you've forsaken reverence or respect. How does this work? Let's consider this thought here this morning and see if I can explain it to you. Let's notice, number one, if you would, the desire of each spouse. Notice we read, nevertheless, that every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You know, one of the most written about topics in this world is the topic of marriage. Everybody has their ideas. Everybody wants to give their advice. Everybody tells us what to do and what not to do. Boy, it's out there. We're inundated with things. And often we hear of or we read about what people call a wife's basic needs. And we hear about a husband's basic needs. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? For example, a May 23rd, 2018 online article written by Becky Squire, who was entitled this, "Your Wife," written to men, obviously, "Your Wife Has Five Basic Needs. Are You Meeting Them?" And she lists the five basic needs as these. She says, affection, conversation, honesty and openness, financial support, and family commitment. She says, there they are, the five basic needs of your wife. It's funny, you read another book, they'll give you 9. You read another one, they'll give you 15. You read another one, they'll give you 3. Which is it? Which is it? The same author wrote an article entitled this, "Your Husband Has 5 Basic Needs. Are You Meeting Them?" And she lists those 5 basic needs of a husband this way. She says, number 1, recreational companionship. Yeah, that's why I got married, to go play tennis with somebody. Anyway, sorry to throw that in. Number 2, physical fulfillment. Number 3, admiration. Number 4, domestic support. And number 5, an attractive spouse. So that's what they say. She says, but while everybody has an opinion, can I submit this morning that God's word has the truth? Amen. We know it from God's word. We can know what the basic need of a wife is, watch this, by the commandment that is given to the husband. And we can know what the basic need of a husband is by the commandment that is given to his wife. So according to this verse, the primary need of a wife is to be loved by her husband. And the primary need of a husband is to be reverenced by his wife. There it is. Would we learn it this morning? But that makes sense. If God commands it, that's because they need it. You know, these two primary needs have been likened to food and water. Watch what I'm saying here. Everybody needs both food and water to survive. We get that. But you can live a lot longer without food than you can without water. In the same sense, both the husband and wife should love one another. Both of them should reverence one another. But to the wife, love is like water and reverence is like the food. To the husband, reverence is like water and love is like food. Again, not that they are indifferent to the other. They simply need the one more than they need the other. And I think every one of us would attest that that is true. In a national study that was done, 400 men were asked this. If you had to pick, imagine asking a man, if you had to pick, would you rather endure having everyone leave you alone and feeling unloved in the world, or being treated as inadequate and disrespected by everyone? Which one would you pick? They asked the man. 74% of them said that they would prefer being alone and unloved in the world than being disrespected. That's interesting, isn't it? One man put it this way. He said, I would rather live with a wife who respected me, if I had to choose, but did not love me, than live with a wife who loved me, but did not respect me. That's interesting. And that goes along with Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 9. The Bible says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Now, this may seem like a revelation to you this morning or new information, but it's really not, because God wrote it here over 2,000 years ago in the New Testament. So, husband, I want you to get this in your mind this morning, that your wife needs more than anything else your love. More than anything else, she wants to know that you love her. And wife, what your husband needs more than anything else is for you to reverence him more than anything else. That's what he desires, and that's what each spouse desires. So we see, number one, the desire of each spouse. Then number two, I want you to think of this, the definition of each word. So what does it mean? Okay, I think we covered love pretty good, but I'm going to revisit that here. What do each of these words mean? Well, let's begin with the husband's responsibility to love. This is review, but men need review. Amen. Anyway, all the ladies said amen right there. Now, last week we saw that the word love was the Greek word agape love. It's again, it's not a friendship love. It's not a physically intimate type love. It is the description of God's love. So when God is speaking to the husband, he's telling us to agape love our wives and love our wives, as verse 25 tells us, as Christ also loved the church. So for a husband to reflect Christ's love to his wife, we saw last week that it must be sacrificial, it must be unconditional, and it must be ceaseless. But this week, I'm going to simplify it for us at all. Guys need simple stuff, amen? I'm going to make it as simple as I can and make it as practical as I can. Here's what your wife needs according to the Bible. She wants to know and be assured of that outside of God, she is the most important person in this world. And all the ladies said, that's what she wants. She wants to know that outside of God, she is the most important person. She's first to you. More important than your job, more important than money, more important than a hobby, more important than a sport, more important than your friends. She needs to know and be assured all the time that she is number one. You see, nothing will energize her more than that. Simple, isn't it? Well, put it into practice. Now, wife, what does it mean to reverence your husband? Your responsibility is to reverence him. Again, this word is from the Greek word phobeo. It's found here in Ephesians, again, 5 and verse 33, where it says she is to reverence her husband. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. I want to show you something I thought was pretty interesting. 1 Peter chapter 3, notice verse 1 and 2. We read, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, here it is, coupled with fear, with fear. It's interesting, the Greek root word for fear there is the same root word that's found here in Ephesians 5:33, to reverence, to reverence. So what does it mean to reverence your husband? It means this, exactly, I'm going to point to the wrong one, is this the wife? It means this, it means to respect him. It means to treat him with dignity. You see, understand something, wife, that respect is a man's deepest value. And wives are told here that she is, they are to reverence their husband. Treat them with respect. Treat them with dignity. You know, perhaps a story that illustrates this well is a Bible story of Queen Vashti in the book of Esther. You remember the story of that. When the king wanted, he was having that royal party and he had all those people there and he came up with this idea. Boy, I'd like to introduce people to my wife. She's such a beautiful woman. I want to show her off, if you will, how beautiful she is. Hey, everybody, come on, gather together. Go get her. Bring her in here. I want to show her to everybody. And they're all waiting there with bated breath for her to come. You know the story. She didn't come. She didn't show up. And you know what happened. This enraged him. This enraged her husband. He got so upset. Why? Now notice, whether right or wrong the story, I'm saying this. It wasn't a lack of love that enraged him. It was a lack of respect. So again, when we define these two words, we're starting with the desire. Understand, husband, that your wife's greatest need is for her to know that she's number one in your life. And wife, his greatest need is to treat him with respect. So again, your wife wants to know she's number one. She has your unconditional, unfailing love. And he needs to know that you have he has your unconditional and unfailing respect. There it is. You say, is that it? No, there's more. So what happens then? Well, number three is this. We saw the desire of the two spouses, the definition of the two words. Now let's talk about the difficulty we encounter, the two of us. What happens in a marriage? Why can things fall apart so quickly? Why is it you can have, and by the way, I've only read about this in books, amen? Why is it you can have a day that's going wonderfully well, and then one little thing happened? Next thing you know, you guys aren't talking to one another. And you may not even remember why. But you're so far apart from one another. How does this happen? Well, if you haven't noticed, men and women think differently. How many have realized that with your spouse, right? We all do. We just think differently. We view things differently. We have different perspective on things. And we respond to things differently as well. And watch this. What happens is we often misunderstand one another. You know, the subject of communication in marriage has been described, discussed, dissected in thousands of books and articles and so forth. Why is it that communication between husbands and wives can become such a problem? I like the way the author of the book put it. He said it this way. He said, women view life through pink-colored lenses, and men view life through blue-colored lenses. Perhaps we could say it as it applies to the message today, that women view things through a love lens, and men view things through a respect lens. Perhaps this story can illustrate. A couple's about to celebrate their 10th wedding anniversary. The wife begins to wonder if her husband was going to remember or forget. In the past, he's forgotten. At times he's forgotten it altogether. She would often drop little hints and even big hints at times. But on their 10th anniversary, she decided, I'm not going to give him a hint at all. I'm going to see what's going to happen here. Well, guess what? He remembers it. He thinks ahead. And so he thinks, I'm going to surprise her. So he goes down to the store and he starts looking at greeting cards, and he sees one as he's looking through them, and he skims through the words and he thinks, wow, this is perfect. This is perfect. This is her. He thinks the words are perfect. So he buys it and he goes home and he signs it. Of course, he puts her name on the envelope. He adds a few hearts on the top and he puts it right on the dresser where she's going to find it and so forth. And he thinks, boy, it's going to be a wonderful day today. Well, she sees the card. And boy, does she smile. She's thinking, he remembered. Boy, he remembered our anniversary. She's so happy. And so she grabs a card, looks at the hearts and all, and is so joyful. She quickly opens a card, and right in front of him, she begins to read it. As she's reading it, her smile goes away. Her face drops. Her facial expression totally changes. Being the husband that he is, he says something's wrong. And so he asked her. He says, what's wrong? She says, nothing. We've all been there, haven't we? He says, no, there's something wrong. What is it? She says, no. There's nothing wrong. He says, there is. I could see. It's on your face. There's something wrong. What is it? She says, well, it's not bad. For a birthday card. He says, you're kidding. He grabs a card real quick and he looks and he reads it and he sees happy birthday. He says, that's unbelievable. She says this, no, you're unbelievable. He says, honey, I'm sorry. It was an honest mistake. I didn't see that. I didn't see that. She says, it was an honest mistake because you just don't care. If you took your car into be detailed and they put a stripe on the side that was a fraction of an inch off, you would have noticed that, right? You know why? Because you care about it, but you don't care about our anniversary. You don't care about me. I wish you didn't even buy me a card. Now the husband's going from feeling guilty to feeling angry. He says this, you know what? The way you're talking to me, I'm glad I bought your birthday card instead of an anniversary card. And he storms out of the room, slamming the door. Now it may not be a birthday card, but that is typical of things that can happen in the husband-wife relationship. Over something so small. What happened? How do we fix this kind of stuff? What's the problem? Here's the problem. You see, when a wife feels like she's not being loved, her natural tendency is to react in ways that feel disrespectful to her husband. For example, she will respond by berating him or scolding him. Or talking to him like a child, or criticizing him, or attacking his character. She may even get out her mental list that she has been saving up for quite some time and begin to air all of her grievances to him. In short, what does she do? She disrespects him. Now, she in her mind, she knows she loves him. That's not a question. But she wonders if he loves her. And unfortunately, this habitual approach is her attempt to motivate her husband to be more loving. But what it does is the exact opposite. You see, she criticizes, she berates, she scolds, she talks to him like a child, out of love, if you will, but he only hears disrespect. And how does the husband respond? Well, when a husband feels like he's being disrespected, his natural tendency is to react in ways that feel unloving to his wife. You see, when she begins her tirade, the natural tendency of the man is to withdraw, is to clam up, is to sit there quietly and stew, which makes her angrier than ever. And when he can take it no longer, often what happens is he gets up and he walks out without a word. But understand that that action only in her mind reinforces what she's been thinking all along. He doesn't love me. And the cycle goes on. She doesn't feel loved. She disrespects. He feels disrespected. He doesn't show love. And on and on and on it goes. You see, he's thinking this: I don't deserve this kind of talk. I'm not a child. Everybody respects me but her. She's just picking a fight. She's thinking, why doesn't he talk to me? I'm trying to get him to open up. I'm reaching out to him. I'm hurting. Why doesn't he see that? Why doesn't he love me? There it is. There's the problem. You see, often both spouses, they realize they love each other. If you were to stop and say, can I ask you something? Can we put pause here for a minute? Do you love her? He said, well, yes, I love her. I married her. And you go over here, do you love him? Well, yes, I love him. What's going on then? It's misunderstanding one another. You see, often we would say we love each other, but the truth of the matter is we often misunderstand each other. You see, understand that a husband's love to the wife is like oxygen to her, and a wife's respect and reverence for her husband is like oxygen to him. And without respect, he reacts without love, and without love, she reacts without respect. There it is. That's why some little old thing can escalate into some huge blowout. You got two people not even talking to one another. And all she's saying is, I just want you to love me. And he's saying, I just want you to respect me. So what do we do? How do we fix this? Well, it's easy. Number four is this. We see the desire of the two spouses, the definition of the two words, the difficulty of the two spouses. Number four, the deeds of the two spouses. How do we fix this? Easy. Recognize what's happening. See your spouse's language for what it is. You see, the answer is don't follow your natural tendencies when a woman, a lady, wife, when you feel unloved to berate and disrespect, and husband, when you feel like you're disrespected, don't shut her out. Don't stop stop loving her. Wives, don't become caustic with your words. Husbands, don't clam up. It's interesting in Ephesians chapter 5, the whole passage begins with being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit means being empty of self. You see, naturally, when a woman doesn't feel love, she wants to disrespect. And naturally, when a man feels disrespected, he doesn't want to love. That's where the problem is. And so husbands, guess what you have to do? You have to unconditionally love your wife beyond the words that are coming out. And wife, you need to unconditionally reverence and respect your husband. When an issue comes up and there's an argument, if you will, or a disagreement, however you want to describe it, understand, husband, through it all, no matter what. And you say, I'm going to love her no matter what. And wife, you need to say, I'm going to respect him no matter how we have to deal with this. I'm going to show respect. And when you do those two, you're going to find you can get through anything. What happens so often is his wife will say, well, I'll respect him when he loves me. And the husband says, well, I'll love her when she respects me. Somebody's got to give. Who's it going to be? Go to Galatians 6:1. I'll show you who's it going to be. Notice, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, here it is, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Be the mature one. Be the one that says, I'm going to love her and communicate with her no matter what she says or how she treats me. And the woman, I'm gonna respect him. No matter how much he's wronged me, at least we're going to get through this with respect. And I'm going to talk to him like a human being. You see, when there is love and respect, you can get through any disagreement. You'll have disagreements. There'll be a birthday card on your anniversary. But you don't berate, criticize, demean. And husbands, you don't clam up. You admit you're wrong. I made a mistake. I'm so sorry. I love you, honey. You see, husbands, for your wife, love her unconditionally. Understand, when she berates or criticizes or is negative and complains, do you know what it is? It's a cry for love. When you come home from work and there's your wife with the kids around and you walk in the door and she says, I can't take it anymore. I feel I'm all alone here. You don't help a thing around here. Do something. I got these kids all day and I can't even have an adult conversation. You know what she's really saying to you? I need somebody to love me right now. It's been a hard day. But so often we say, oh, I don't do anything around here? Oh, I cut the grass and I pay the bills. And how do you think these lights go on? A switch and it just magically goes, oh, somebody's going to pay for something. And then she goes back and forth and you storm out. I'm not talking to her anymore. You know what? Somebody's forsaken love and respect here. Probably both of you there. Love her unconditionally. See what she's going through as a cry for love. Show your love by opening up to her, listening to her, without trying to fix things. Say you're sorry when you did something wrong. Don't ever let her doubt your commitment to her. Because she needs love. And wife, no matter what he does, yes, confront him. Yes, talk to him about it. But do it with respect. Unconditional respect. Yes, confront his unloving behavior. Confront his mistakes. Talk to him. But watch the words that you use. Watch the tones that you use. Watch the facial expressions that are there. Do not attack him. Be respectful to him at all times. You're going to find something out. If this Ephesians 5:33 formula works. Because it's God's formula. You see, if husbands and wives will get this truth, it will change the dynamic of your home. It really will. It'll change. If husbands, you say, I'm going to love my wife as myself. I'm going to see her as what she is. Her greatest need is love. And when there's something going on in her life and she's gotten to this place where she's after it and just criticizing, that's her crying out that I need to be loved right now. And wife, understand, when your husband clams up, perhaps it's something that you said that caused disrespect. Put these two principles into action. And you can have a happy, healthy, Christ-like marriage that can face any problem that comes its way. Husbands, love. Wives, respect. Put it into practice. Try it. It'll work. Because God says it will. Amen.